The following audio lecture is copyright 2012 by Carl Johan Schroeder. It is free to download and distribute, but please respect that all rights are reserved, so any resale, modifications, or excerpting are prohibited without permission. To see the video of this lecture and for further information, please visit www.returnofhildegard.com. Welcome to the Hildegard of Bingen Christmas Message 2012. My name is Carl Johan Schroeder. I am a spiritual philosopher with some fascinating ideas to share. And this is my first YouTube video. It is the end of the year 2012. I live in the United States and I am 49 years old. 150 years ago, I am 9 years old. I live in Russia and my name is Vladimir Sergeyevich Soloviev. 9 centuries ago, I am about 14 years old. I live in Germany, and my name is Hildegard von Bingen. Yes, I'm talking about reincarnation. My soul lives in many times and places, behind a series of related faces, across many eras and cultures, as does your own soul. My dear listener, in this glorious postmodern world, where all wisdom traditions are available to us on the internet, that splendid cosmic meeting place where many of you can be watching this video here right now. And so I thank you for your precious attention, for your open heart and questing mind. I would like very much to speak with you and your soul together now to bring you closer to one another on this fantastic journey home that we call living on planet Earth. You always deserve to know more of what greatness created you and the spark of love you truly are. As I chat with you here now from the Boston area, it is in fact Christmas 2012, a time when many said the world would end, or at least begin anew, according to ancient prophecies. But just last May, it was announced by nearby Boston University that the oldest Mayan calendar to date had been discovered, one which went far beyond 2012 to map more phases of the future. This fact-based revelation made it clear, as the scholars were saying all along, that December 21st, 2012 was just one end of one minor cycle of 144,000 days, which the Mayans called the 13th Baktun, making this a time to celebrate and anticipate how very much more there is to come. The last Baktun ended around 1618, and there will be 20 Baktuns in all before the next major cycle, which they called a Pektun, ending in the year 4772. So mark your calendars, because time and space are really just the places where we grow, settings for the endless play of our eternal lives. Cycles time our growth, so every year the winter solstice does bring the return of the sun to the northern hemisphere of planet Earth. In my religious heritage, Christmas is the time for the Savior's birth, the baby Jesus who calls forth your own divine human self. All the world's a stage, as the master William Shakespeare once famously said, and a stage to what end is the most personal and poignant of questions. Each lifetime is a miraculous configuration of the loving relationships we are intended to discover and enjoy, for the endless divine companionship and brilliant creative inspiration that each of us can truly become. I was not William Shakespeare, by the way, though as a fellow writer, I can feel close to him. Shakespeare and his soul are available to guide and befriend all of us who seek his particular brand of spiritual illumination on this great and endless journey into knowing our immortal souls in God. I have it on good authority that Shakespeare was reincarnated as the great playwright August Wilson, who in the 20th century, from the ghettos of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, wrote massive, prize-winning dramas to honor and uplift the lives of those so-called ordinary, impoverished Black Americans with whom he grew up as a child. All lives are extraordinary gifts from God, treasures of divine infinite potential, for which the loving Holy Spirit that moves within us all is grateful without end. You know, here in the United States, we have a holiday of gratitude and feasting that we call Thanksgiving, a time when biologically based extended families reunite, for better or worse, in the third week of November. Now, the very next day after Thanksgiving begins a Christmas push for shopping and entertainment, an often criticized consumer rush, which need not be a bad thing in itself, because after all, life is all in how you live and love it. It's also a big time to go out for a movie, because people always love a good story. So, I saw two epic films in the theater this past Thanksgiving weekend. One was called Cloud Atlas, and the other called Rise of the Guardians. Now, Cloud Atlas is a complex reincarnation drama spanning six lifetimes and many centuries, involving reuniting couples, good and evil, and how humanity is to be liberated. I expect it to be massively inspired. Rise of the Guardians is a children's movie about Santa Claus teaming up with the Easter Bunny, Jack Frost, the Tooth Fairy, and the Sandman to stop the nightmares that are taking over kids' dreams. I expect it to be lightly entertained. But the opposite happened, for which movie truly touched my heart. Cloud Atlas only lightly entertained me in the direction of future storytelling, in which the story of the soul is found and told across time and space. Today, many more people are connecting with their other lifetimes and aspects of themselves. And there's nothing more holy and fascinating than to see the rise of divine self-awareness as humanity itself grows up. But I found Cloud Atlas to be somewhat confusing and confused, so the river of love did not run through it for me. In one key scene, Tom Hanks has just met Halle Berry in the 1970s, and he says to her something like, "I used to think reincarnation was ridiculous, but suddenly I know that I love you and that we've been together before." Now, I cry easily, and normally I would have cried at such a scene of reuniting souls in love, but I didn't. Why? Aha, because 2 minutes later, Tom Hanks gets blown up by the conspiracy that his immortal beloved was investigating. So they have to wait yet another lifetime to meet and give their love a chance. Well, the spirit doesn't like dead ends like this. That's why I wasn't moved. The flow of love wants to be felt so it can rise without end. Conspiracies may be popular entertainment, but in real life, when you find and follow a spiritual truth that speaks to your own heart, you feel it, and your life is forever changed for the better. Your heart breaks open. You cry spiritual tears. Your brain turns inside out with new possibilities for love. And countless angels hurry to your side to uplift, uphold, protect, and guide. So people, have no fear to feel the great truths of love. Let no conspiracies cause your heart to shrink and hide. For God is calling you to the heavens that you are made to live here on earth, here and always now. The fine author of the book Cloud Atlas, by the way, upon which the movie is based, is the reincarnation of none other than Jules Verne, that great Victorian futurist, often recalled along with H.G. Wells, who wrote The Time Machine. Now, both Wells and Verne were concerned with human rights and the direction of human potential, so they pretty much together, independently, laid the foundations for modern science fiction, which is really an art of projecting the present into extremes of outcome to make certain goals more clear. Now, as a kid, I grew up loving the Disney adaptations of Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Journey to the Center of the Earth. And in the story of Captain Nemo, we can see the same concerns with human slavery, both physical and spiritual, which Cloud Atlas revolves around. And so we can identify another soul returning with a heartfelt message for the planet Earth at this time of great hope and love. As for the other movie that I saw on Thanksgiving weekend, I was amazed at how much Rise of the Guardians caused me to sob with spiritual tears throughout a timeless tale of dreams and archetypes. Like other classics of children's literature, including Peter Pan and The Neverending Story, Rise of the Guardians is about facing a crisis of belief in magic, and its rewarding message is that the more you know about yourself and your own soul, the more you will be empowered and protected to live a life of great love and destiny. Santa Claus is reinvented as a sword-wielding, life-loving Russian bear of a man who talks about finding your center, that unique, energetic contribution that you alone make to life itself. Santa's center is wonder, and that's why he invents magical toys for children every Christmas. Easter Bunny brings hope with the spring, of course. Sandman brings dreams with each night of sleepful rest. And the Tooth Fairy keeps the childhood memories, which hold the key to our immortal identities. Jack Frost was a boy who died on a frozen lake hundreds of years ago, but he was resurrected by the full moon to bring the fun of snow and winter play. So now Jack joins the other guardians of childhood to turn back a tide of fear that is invading children's dreams and threatening the future of humanity. Hope, dreams, wonder, fun, and pure memories prevail. And what's more, the river of love runs through this story, because each time a truth of the heart is revealed, the characters grow stronger together. This, then, is how spirit works. Energy is real in life. And that is why I found myself weeping with spiritual inspiration throughout this children's animated fantasy. The best-selling author of Rise of the Guardians is named William Edward Joyce, whose past lives would be interesting to know, I'm sure, but I have not yet been told. The reason why I know about some of my own past lives is from many years of following the transcendent patterns in my dreams and daily synchronicities, visions, and intuitive relationships, all of which become more clear as one grows spiritually. Reincarnation is a tricky business, I will admit, and to know the reincarnations of public figures such as William Shakespeare and Jules Verne, I've relied upon the advice of my friend Kevin Ryerson, the psychic, who became famous for helping the actress Shirley MacLaine when she first went out on a limb for her own spiritual self-discovery. Kevin Ryerson channels a wise Egyptian spirit named Atun Re, whom my other friend, Walter Semku, consults frequently, as together they build a database of reincarnation identifications. As the reincarnation of John Adams, founding father to the United States, Walter now holds a grand vision for the entire planet, in which souls are recognized and supported across their returning lifetimes to make their unique contributions to the peaceful, enlightened progress of humanity. And this is a vision which I share. However, Walter does remain a healthy skeptic, and Atun Re does not rubber stamp reincarnation claims, so I was pretty nervous when I went to them saying, hello, I'm the reincarnation of St. Hildegard and some other related mystics. What often happens with reincarnation claims is that Atun Re will say, no, you were an associate of that person, or you lived in that time period and you were inspired by them, or they were and are a spiritual guide to you. In my case, however, Atun Re did verify that I am Hildegard returned, and you can read more details of my journey at my personal website, returnofhildegard.com. Well, if that sounds like a plug, it was, and this has been enough introduction to my real message to you now. This talk isn't just about me or even some interesting ideas after all. It is about you and the future of your relationship with your own immortal soul. I just happen to be a person who loves the spiritual context, who loves a good chat and lead-in to the heart of a message. I always like to know the story behind the story, where people are coming from, and the making of a film, that sort of thing. It helps, I think, to know these things, to build a feeling of trust and empathy, to open the heart to what is real and true behind the play of images and words. So I hope now to have engaged your interest as a fellow human being on this amazing planet at this great time in history, or should I say, her story. For yes, the future that we face together now is about the return of the goddess, the feminine nurturing aspect of God, with all the love and wisdom we require to endure. With her knowing will come a return of your own soul, the certainty of who and what you truly are, my dear listener now, so deep and so beautiful in your own unique center of divine, immortal love. Please believe in yourself and consider what has been my destiny to say to you now. So I call the following essay, How to Get What You've Always Wanted, Now and Forever. I suppose that's a bit of a hook to appeal to the human ego that always wants something more for itself. But then I never thought that wanting more love, beauty, and God was anything to be criticized. Safety, joy, creativity, these are to be celebrated, as the needs and desires of the divine human being will guide us into the most heavenly of futures possible, probable, inevitable, here on earth today. There are things that many of us would like to do today on this beautiful planet Earth that have never been done before. We want, and in many cases absolutely need, to end wars and create lasting peace, stabilize the climate, feed all the people, cure disease, clean up the environment, find our harmony with nature, foster a diverse global prosperity, and educate the new and wiser generations that will understand the powers of such values as love, creativity, compassion, and spiritual grace. Even if we believe in golden ages of the past when some of these ideals were practiced in specialized communities that didn't last, then it is unprecedented to achieve such things globally and permanently for all of humanity to step up in the quality of being alive. For truly, life is meant to be the greatest gift of all, abundant with opportunities to grow ourselves as facets of the one great, all-caring, all-seeing Creator. So nothing would make us more proud as a species than to restore life on Earth to its proper experience of safety, gratitude, beauty in balance, and endless joy. If you want to do something that has never been done before, then first you must begin by doing what has always been done, but in a new way. This is the truth of the goddess, the divine origin that restores and refreshes life. All new beginnings come from the feminine principle, which, contrary to our outward appearances, either male or female, comes from deep within each of us to give birth to our dreams. The secret of the feminine is in how we do everything that we do, while the masculine shows itself in what we do next, one step at a time. Within all great unities, there is a duality working together. So the cooperation of the goddess and God is the joy and lifeblood of creation itself. When what we do and how we do it are in harmony, we tap into pure creative power from where we can master the present moment and truly choose our own future direction. But when we are slaves to reactions for and or against what we must do today, then tomorrow can only be a progression of the same energy and not something new, different, and liberating. The amount of love we can live now makes room for the choices we hold, because the feminine spirit gives space for the masculine universe to fill with actions. So how we do things in the present determines what we will be able to do next, one way or another. For example, people who fight long and hard for the right to do something, they often find that by the time they finally have a chance, they're too depressed and tired to get anything done. On the other hand, people who fall in love often reapproach their whole life with such wonder and joy that they are refreshed and amazed to be showered with more gifts of attention than they know what to do with. Now, this is why the so-called law of attraction works. It is not the engineering of steps of action that makes anything happen, but the nurturing of a compatible energy that allows things to work out naturally. Brute force looks effective as long as what you want to do is what you did yesterday, and further problems don't arise. But when it's time for something really new, then you realize the basis of everything has to change to reach a new place. We can't always do what we'd most like to do as the very next thing, but we can always try to hold the happy potential by finding a way to like what we have to do now. We don't need to give up on our dreams, but hope that they come back to us if we practice more love and gratitude in daily life, if we can feel and think like the person who has our own goals tomorrow, then we become more of that fulfilled person who is living on track in the yesterday that is now. Many challenging situations become tolerable and even enjoyable if we know in our hearts that they are temporary on the way to the best things we could ever ask for. On my way, not in my way, is the affirmation I like to say. When we trust and see that all good things can become connected, we allow the goddess to call in the future we want in a divine timing of fresh opportunities. It's fine to plan with God for what to do next, but if we always value the energetic qualities of success more than the images of success, then things can work out even faster than we ever imagined, which is pure magic and fun. So when I visualize, I like to say, this or better, to get at the heart of what I really care about. People will show up by synchronicities with pieces of each other's puzzles all ready to fit together, which just goes to show how connected and loved we all are by the goddess and God who work together through all of us. The old way to create was to put the masculine principle first by trying to control all actions and events to make what we want to happen next perfectly happen. But this is to make life a machine, which it is not, even if machines are helpful and have their place. So we both simplify and complicate our lives when we shift our focus of value to mastering the present moment for the best energies that will bridge us naturally to the futures we most desire. What simplifies is our ability to feel hopeful again. Instead of having to predict and solve every problem and driving ourselves crazy just trying to get ahead, we can pay more attention to daily life and care about ourselves and people again. We can start tapping into the soul level of existence, where bursts of eternal love will change our outlook on everything. Reincarnating groups of related souls are everywhere to be found. The earth brings us together again with spirit guides ready to show us the way to fulfill every need. And more people are waking up every day to the talents and destinies they've been working on for thousands of years. The future is so good, you get giddy and tearful sometimes. On the other hand, what becomes more complicated with facing the truth is having to renegotiate our relationships with everyone, including our former and ongoing selves. Heaven is here now, and heaven too often still has to wait. The human personalities don't just go away, as we discover that everyone has long histories of choices and experiences that filter how much the love they let in, no matter how love-starved we've become together. By waking up to the importance of love, we can see how responsible we are for ending our punishing absolute judgments of right and wrong, for giving everyone some credit for pursuing a spiritual value, for gauging how much we can say and do before we trigger human defenses, and for swallowing our pride to be right when what's really important is allowing everyone to find their own way to awaken and to grow, to find what's right for them. Yes, it would please and soothe our personal sense of order if everyone did just what made sense to us. But truly, it's so much more interesting to see how different people make use of different things and who becomes compatible to create great works and miracles together. A lot of our old choices need to be revisited as we discern in whom to confide and from whom to separate for mutual liberation. Respect and compassion become our invisible shields against endless invitations to rejoin the senseless old karmic battles. When the Berlin Wall was coming down in 1990, Mikhail Gorbachev and his administration were famous for saying to the United States, "We're going to do a terrible thing to you. We're going to deprive you of an enemy." With the war on terror that continues to this day, it's easy to see who couldn't stand living without enemies, and so they got some new ones for themselves and for the rest of us. but it's harder to see how we all make use of that same shared reality, especially those of us who say we want peace and enlightenment. Remember, the amount we let in the goddess is in how we do everything that we do, not in what we do or what we plan to do next. It is a higher level of sophistication to study and teach spiritual beliefs, but the old system allowed for that too. The timeless truths are great stuff, but the real question is, how are we living them now? If your spirituality is a refuge from a cruel and dangerous world, as it often can be, if you are loudly or silently seething with fearful condemnations for those stupid wrong people who are messing up your beautiful possibilities, and you're probably right about many things. If you're praying for some kind of miracle to rescue and fix your life so you can finally do what you were always meant to do, don't worry, you are deserving, but quick fixes just aren't the lesson. Then, if any of these things are true, then you're still stuck in the old how and not really doing new things. You may feel trapped from functioning at the limits of the old energies, the old ways of doing things. Your highs will be high from what you do right, but then your lows will be low as you get dragged back down again. Some spiritual people look great at their best moments of activity, but then reveal judgments for situations they can't tolerate, and other personality problems that they blame on their ego or the past or other people. Anything but how they're choosing to think their own thoughts and feel their own feelings right now. Many of us developed wonderful talents in isolated past lives, but we can't live in monasteries forever. If you find yourself failing when you hope to succeed, failing when you expected to fly, at least give yourself some credit for trying. It's a lot trickier than it looks to change the deep energetic habits we've built up over thousands of years in our fallible human choices. We're all in this reality together, perhaps more than we'd like to admit. As creators, we're all dealing with our feminine and masculine energies inside, our own limited visions of and versions of the goddess and God for how and what to do in our lives. But as the creations of our own choices, then we specialize into roles and give each other plenty to think about. So, if you want to know how you do whatever you do, just look to the women in your life, starting with your mother. And if you want to know what you tend to do within your limits of how, look to the men, starting with your father. Our parents were the first role models we have for how the goddess can love and what God can do. So as spirits, we gravitated to the right parents before we were even born in order to see what we've got to work with inside of ourselves. Well, I'm all set then, because my mother was pretty and nice and my dad was rich and smart. But it's not their public image that counts. Rather, the deep down personal issues we felt and saw in our parents as we grew up under them. You know, the stuff that comes out in therapy, with siblings showing different ways to react. As children, our growth becomes defined by our parents' limitations. So then, when we try to realize our own potentials later in life, it's not enough to just rebel and say, I'm different now. We still feel what we feel and think what we think, which may be a tiny subset of all the wonderful possibilities waiting for us. But our limitations became rooted and manifest within us. So keep watching your reactions, striving for a different response, and forgiving yourself. The extent to which you reach for and fail to connect with new kinds of men and women in your life will show how much you are trying to break free of the old how and what patterns, but still remain stuck. It's quite the balancing act to be in the world, but not of it, to be the unlimited soul incarnating itself. It's easy to say, oh, I just needed to feel more love and acceptance for that situation that I couldn't stand, but then go back and try that sometime. The universe is chock full of love and wisdom to tap into for every occasion, but our beliefs are active filters on what we can experience. If we have a network of beliefs that say a person is against us in some way and ruining our life, we can try accepting them, but it won't come out right. It's okay, grr. You're fine, grr. We'll be stuck in wanting to change them, to judge them, or at least let them know how hurt and angry we are, even when doing so would be a waste of time. They don't care, or maybe they can't care. It's tough for us to give up, to be wrong, and walk away without blaming someone, especially if we're still looking for acknowledgments and closure. But the only people we can change are the ones who are already trying to change and who ask for our help. If we're the ones who want to change, then we can acknowledge ourselves and create our own closures to become the new, more complete individuals. Leo Tolstoy said, "Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing themselves." We need to change not the world, but our beliefs upon it, little by little, thus creating more space for the changes in response that can carry over into how we do everything. In difficult situations, we can lead the way of peaceful coexistence. This person isn't against me. They're just against certain things that I don't have to do. Perhaps they're doing what's right for them, and I can find what's right for me. Even if they are ruining their own life, I don't have to stay by their side or react from the same place. I've got new opportunities coming to me as I better handle the present. This moment, here now, is my opportunity to improve my response to this kind of situation. And if I do this right, then I'll never be stuck here again. I am a being of more love and understanding every day. A new world is opening up to me, starting now. I'm seeing it already. Life is great. There is, in fact, a natural progression to working with the masculine and feminine energies, forever increasing balance and alignment with the goddess and God who always love, so that we too may become instruments divine who play and sing the precious songs of our own unique immortal souls. The two life modes of being and doing need to alternate in cycles of our consciousness so they can link up and chain to form a sequence of ever-improving life here upon the earth to bring more love of heaven into our shared lives together. There are times when our personal action is called for, when life is ripe and ready, calling us to get down, focus, and do something that we know is right and good for all. It's important at these times to tune into the readiness that's within our own spirit, so we can get past the doubts and distractions of the past and any external negativities. We need to feel supported to make a real next step of our potentials as creators here on the earth. Then, after we take a next step of action, big or small, it's also just as important to feel when we have reached the limits of our abilities, when we've done all that we can do well for today, because that is when the goddess calls us back into our hearts to relax and return us to a state of faith in love so we can take a step back, feel the good that we have done, see the bigger picture, become guided by the spirit that is holy once again, and change any beliefs that would make us less than miracles. Each of us has our own particular strengths and weaknesses to master as we learn to keep the cycles of our consciousness moving smoothly forward. When we tend to be action-oriented, we may get stuck in the doing over the feeling, achieving over receiving, and become increasingly obsessive, compulsive, forceful, and even violent. Life can become hollow, empty, and frustrating, with meaningless activity. And in our quiet moments, we will feel lonely for a goddess figure, someone to nurture, understand, and inspire us again. The stereotype is true of the man who conquers life only one day to discover feelings for a woman whom he must worship helplessly, and this can lead to scary emotional confrontations, either publicly or privately, inside or out. But since we all have an internal god and goddess connection to discover, women are just as prone to overstaying in the masculine activity of life and then becoming lonely for companionship that makes all things new. Women are just more likely to implode in their feelings of hurt and loneliness, while men more willing to explode in the frustration of not getting to do what they want. Either extreme is a cry for love and shows the need to reinvent the sacred self that has reached its limits of progress by action. The world today is largely in the needs of a great shift from masculine to feminine focus. And this is not necessarily from having done anything wrong, from any sin or mistake. For hundreds of years, it was right and good for humanity to explore the Industrial Revolution, to push science a bit ahead of faith, to act and do and build great things that could improve the standard of living for all. The reasons we have wars, pollution, and poverty today are not from having done wrong things, but done them in wrong, unloving ways. People have not stayed grounded in their feelings of love for one another, in their own smaller daily cycles of consciousness that must move with smooth regularity between action and imagination, doing and feeling, masculine and feminine. When our actions reach their limits of current wisdom, we must take the hints to stop and reevaluate ourselves, to re-enter the divine awareness that knows and sees the greater purpose. Throughout history, there have been those people who specialize in the visionary side of life, the mystics, the artists, the poets, and philosophers, who love all life and dream of a better world. They, too, must balance and ground themselves, because if we stay in our dreams and faith for too long, we become increasingly nervous, fragile, weak, depressed, and childlike in our desperations to be saved and rescued by a higher power. Many of the overly idealistic, judgmental, frightened people in the world today are hiding in their hearts great soul visions for how the world was meant to be, only they have not let in the love of God enough to act effectively upon their dreams. I speak from much experience in my quest for the goddess and how to balance better living with the love of God. I began to recall my past lives as I respected the talents of my spirit by taking steps to manifest my dreams and creative inspirations. In my hobbies and relationships, I discovered that I was a mystic, a visionary writer, a poet muse for God. When I longed for a goddess figure to guide and refresh me, memories of my own lifetime as Hildegard of Bingen came back to say, "Yes, you are a mystical writer. You have been and will be again. This is your destiny." But as a man, in my present form, I became obsessed to find a literal goddess, my own soulmate, to support my ambitions. Time and again, I would find great love, only to have it change and slip away, leading me back into the mysteries of my own heart and soul. Karmic fate would have me spend many years discovering that we can only love and be loved as much as we find the divine wholeness within ourselves. There is a fine movie called Vision from the Life of Hildegard of Bingen, which wisely shows how much even Saint Hildegard became obsessed with a young woman for the inspiration of the goddess. Her beloved friend, the nun Ricardus, had to leave her side and die for Hildegard to be forced to move on. Hildegard became highly successful and celebrated in her public life thereafter, but her personal human heart never fully healed. My life, as the Russian poet-philosopher Vladimir Solovyev, similarly suffered to find external divine love. Vladimir spent his life pursuing visions of the goddess, whom he called Sophia, and falling in love with women who were often literally named Sophia. Vladimir died in 1900, lonely, nervous, and fearful for the coming of the 20th century, which he, like many other artists and sensitive creative types, knew was to bring more war and misery to an already deprived, imbalanced world of human suffering. All people want and need the same things, including food and shelter, safety, love and pleasure, encouraging relationships, and the hope of right careers in which to find themselves. We only differ in the details of what we prefer from our unique personalities, and in those details we conflict so often and unnecessarily. Can we not celebrate our differences and discover how much God made us to fit beautifully together? A definition came to me once that spirituality is knowing what you like. How elegant, how simple, and yet how deep. Our desires are sacred. They lead us into our unique destinies. And to know them is to know ourselves and become divine. Perhaps this is just a bit tricky because we tend to think of our preferences in concrete forms, in terms of the things we want to do and have. And that's fine. That's the God principle. We just need to also balance our desires in the world with the essence of the goddess. We might do well to not only want the ends, but also the means, where the means are not more actions or things, but qualities. I want to get where I'm going by love. I want the goddess with me as I approach God. This, then, is the way to discover the secret of creation itself, which is that we can only desire what a part of us already has. We will always deserve the chance to have what is rightfully ours, from the seeds contained in our own God-given soul. When we want something in our heart and even need it in our body, that means that a future self is directly ahead, already enjoying our own destiny, and what we feel now is the desire to join up with more of that destiny. Thus, it is never really a masculine question of what do I need to do to get what I want, but rather it's a feminine question of how do I need to act to become the me that knows how to receive what I want? Ask and it shall be given. Have I yet asked with all that I am? Our growth in the present is a bridge to the future, and every action we need to do can follow naturally, easily, joyfully, when we feel the support of the love that we always increase here now. Currently, the world is in transition, from the old system of creating the future by force and struggle, to the new system of creating by love in the present. The old way never really worked. That's why we have all accumulated so much pain, loneliness, and distrust. We are a broken people, with little fragments of our true selves hiding in pockets of different situations, love-starved and defensive and needing our help to link up. Like stringing pearls, we need to revisit the scenes of our lives as the universe brings them to us and learn to be more of the love that we are. This love is neither self-sacrificing nor other-sacrificing, only honest and holding to boundaries for the dreams that we know we desire. Imagine a world in which people do not fight in conflicts to compete for the same limited resources, but rather we support and hold each other in helpful creative ways to achieve different things that will be seen to fit beautifully together. We are each secure in our own goals, so we seek the best possible interactions as we find ourselves attracted to each other for the lessons and projects of the God that is love. Everyone attains their diverse values and contributes to the communities of heavenly treasures together. This is the future that we can bring ourselves to believe in and see a little more every day. The best part of all is that you can keep what you get. Yes, you can finally take it with you. It is your own divine eternal life. I thank you for listening. May God bless you and be your guiding light. From the depths of your divine and perfect soul to the heights of your majestic worlds of love and brilliant creativity, in the new year and beyond, may all the heavenly joys be yours to know in this life and forevermore. Amen.